WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset.
Well, if you ever plan to motor west.
The historic Route 66. Songs have been written about it, many road trippers have driven on it, and it even had its own TV show in the 60s, an essential piece of Americana and once considered the main street of America. The 2,400-mile historic highway connected the Midwest to the West. It started in Chicago, ran across 8 states, and ended all the way in Los Angeles. And now one group's looking to collect your Route 66 stories and exploring not just the history that we know, but the untold parts of the route's history. I sat down with Amy Webb, Senior Director of Preservation Programs for the National Trust of Historic Preservation, to learn more about what sparked this push to preserve Route 66 history. Here's Amy.
The road was actually commissioned in 1926, which means that in 2026, which is really right around the corner, this is actually part of a larger Preserve Route 66 initiative that we're working on, really designed to generate some excitement about Route 66 and to get Route 66 ready for its next century.
What is it that you're calling on the public to do exactly? How do you want them to engage?
Well, what we're doing, we have this Share Your Route 66 Story initiative. And we're asking people to submit them online. It's very easy to do. There is just a simple button you can click. You can upload a picture, a title, and then just a short narrative, really like, you know, a couple of sentences, really. And we're looking for people's experiences on Route 66, places that mean something to them. This could be something from somebody who owns a business on Route 66 or who is traveling on Route 66. And we're getting all kinds of really interesting responses to this so far.
Oh, yeah. Well, as you mentioned, Amy, I mean, 2026 is going to be Route 66's centennial. So I want to turn the clock back almost 100 years here and go back to the beginning. Describe what was happening in the country back then.
Well, back in 1926, you know, we were looking for a way to have a road to get people across the country. And so at that time, the federal government created the first paved road that connected everything from Chicago out to LA. It was not an interstate like we know today. It was actually consisted of existing segments of road, and there were a few that were purpose-built and some bridges that were put in as well. And Route 66 actually ended up taking different routes at different times over that period, you know, between the 20s and the 60s, but in the 80s rather. So it was a way for people to get out to California. It was a road that was used in the Dust Bowl migration by people who were heading west. It was an important military transportation route. So I think, you know, again, there's many things that Route 66 has done over the years, not just kind of the ultimate road trip, what people tend to know it for today.
Right. And why start in Chicago?
That's a good question. I think there might have been other roads that had connected Chicago to the East Coast. Mm-hmm. So this was sort of a missing piece.
I see.
And, you know, to just to find a way to have that transportation route.
A good middle point. Yeah, it started at the intersection of Jackson and Michigan, went all the way to California, as we've talked about. But that's like 2,000 some miles away. So, I mean, walk us through what people are seeing along the way, Amy. I mean, what states are we going through?
Goes through 8 different states. So you go through Illinois, Missouri, a tiny bit of Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and then out to California.
Wow.
So, 8 different states that it goes through.
A lot of attractions along the way, too, right? I'm thinking of the world's largest ball of yarn type stuff here in Illinois and in Collinsville.
Well, Yeah, there's a lot of different things. I mean, you know, I think Route 66 is best known for the diners, the motels, the bridges, you know, the trading posts, those kind of things. But again, I think there's a lot more too along Route 66, people who lived along Route 66 and worked along Route 66. So we're really looking at kind of that fuller picture. And we're particularly interested in helping to elevate some of those hidden stories. We know, for example, that African-American travelers on Route 66 had to go off the route to find places to stay on those Green Book sites. Mm-hmm. So we're interested in stories like that. Further out west, I think there's many stories of indigenous peoples and Hispano peoples who lived along the route. And again, really trying to tell a fuller story of Route 66 is one of our big goals.
I imagine quite a few stories have made it your way already. So, I mean, can you share some with us?
Sure. And I think, again, they run the gamut from people's experiences at different places. Sometimes it's a specific exhibit in a museum. One of my favorites that's from right there in Chicago, that was one that we did know about. And again, you know, we're really looking for those stories that are ones that we weren't aware of. There's a fellow, John Rue in Chicago, who has constructed in the basement of his home, a Route 66 model railroad that actually takes you all the way from Chicago out to LA in a miniature railroad. And so this has been, been a kind of fun thing to learn about. And we've been talking to him about what he sees as the history for that passion project that he's been doing. So, you know, again, we're interested in some of those things like that, that probably most people don't know about.
Yeah, that's kind of cool what John did there. It sounds like a super fan or a transit super fan, if you will.
I think so.
You know, as we talk about those attractions too, along the way, Amy, there's also, you know, in Collinsville, there was and still is the quote unquote world's largest ketchup bottle, right? I'm curious if you've seen any of these roadside attractions.
I have, you know, I think that was one of the things people were doing along the way was to construct something to get people's attention and to pull them off the road. So, you know, in fact, we have a number of stories that people have shared about places like Twin Arrows out in Arizona, mm-hmm. where there was an enterprising trading post owner who took two telephone poles and turned them into these giant arrows. And it was really just designed to capture people's attention. And this is actually one of the really endangered places on Route 66. I was there about a year or so ago, and one of the arrows has fallen, and it has an uncertain future. So, you know, we're especially interested in learning about some places that need some help, and just to try to see if we can, you know, be able to connect them with some sort of assistance.
Yeah. You know, Route 66 has been called America's road trip. Can you still technically take this particular road trip, Amy?
Absolutely. And I think you need to have a good map because, again, it isn't a straight route like the interstate. It takes lots of twists and turns. And I know that many of the different state associations, because every state has a Route 66 association, are working on things like signage along the route to help people understand that. And there are some really good itineraries that you can take as well that will take you turn by turn all the way along Route 66.
If it was such a popular route, I mean, why was it decommissioned in the 80s?
Well, it was really the coming of the interstate. And the interstate began to be built, you know, about 10 years prior, and they were putting in different segments. And as they were putting in the interstate, they would then just decommission portions of Route 66. And the interstate was designed to get people from point A to point B as fast as possible, where Route 66 was also really about the experience along the way. So it was, I think, in the 80s that the last segment came in and Route 66 was officially decommissioned as a U.S. highway. But almost immediately, there were efforts that sprung up with folks who were looking at celebrating historic Route 66 mm-hmm. and this experience and really making sure that it stayed going.
Before I let you go, remind folks again, if they've got stories or they've got photos that they want to share about their personal journeys on Route 66, what should they do?
Go to our website, which is www.savingplaces.org. And right there from the homepage, you can find a link that will take you to the Preserve Route 66, share your story, and you can submit it there.
That's Amy Webb, Senior Director of Preservation Programs for the National Trust of Historic Preservation. Thank you so much for talking with us, Amy.
Thanks for having me.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and edited by Meha Ahmed, and it was mixed by Brenda Ruiz. To hear more conversations about the interesting stories in history in Chicago, make sure to subscribe and head over to wbez.org/reset for a full archive of our interviews. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.